Well, today you'll notice just by the front of your bulletin that this morning is going to be about missions and missionaries. And it's my hope that you paid special attention to the pictures on the front, because those aren't just anyone. Those just aren't any missionaries. Those are our missionaries. And if you've been at Delaware Bible Church for very long and you've ever taken a look at the board outside in the hallway and tried to see what some of these people might look like, or maybe you've become familiar with them and developed relationships with them, it's also my hope that you look at that bulletin and think, I don't know if I know who some of these people are. And that's a good thing, because many of the ones on the front of today's bulletin are missionaries that have been added to our missions ministry just over the past few months. The Lord has done an amazing work in providing for our missionaries through the giving of this church. And you may not realize this, but there is a correlation between your giving and how much we can give to missionaries. And as giving increases, so does the support we can offer our missionaries, and so does the number of missionaries we might be able to support. And of course, there's the other relationship. As giving comes down, there might be some difficult decisions that the missions committee has to make, either in reducing support going to some of our missionaries or ending a partnership altogether, which we never enjoy doing. Well, the Lord has seen fit to place our church in an unusual time where we found there to be some surplus monies in the missions budget, which missions committees of the past would have loved to have had. And we actually, the difficult challenge before us was, well, how many does this mean we can add? And we were interviewing and making phone calls and Skype calls and all those kinds of things. And through that process that's laid out in our missions policy, we were able to approve several new missionaries to our missions ministry. And many of them are the ones on the front of today's bulletin. I'm also very excited with this particular group of pictures, because every single one of the people you see will be here for our missions conference this year. And you'll get to meet each and every one of these new missionaries that we've added. And they are so excited to be meeting all of you. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in a very traditional, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, and so on, Baptist church. And one of the hallmarks every year was missions conference. Now, when I was growing up, our missions conferences were a week long, and you had missionaries coming in every night. And for some of you who might actually be wondering, I am old enough to remember some of those missions conferences had missionaries coming in, showing us images from their field on slide projectors. They weren't even showing videos yet. It was a new thing to have a missionary come in with a VHS tape that we could put up on the screen. And I remember, I have these memories, these images as a young child. Missions conference was one of the favorite times of year for me. I loved going into the auditorium for the first time and seeing all the flags of the world on display. And I loved going to all the exhibit tables where all of our missionaries were standing, and they had all this paraphernalia from their field. And it was so different, right? Because many of them are international missionaries and were representing places that I probably would never see in my lifetime, although I had hoped that I would see many of them. And I remember meeting these missionaries and asking them questions and just being kind of starstruck. Doesn't that sound strange? That for me as a young kid, I was starstruck when I got to meet these incredible people who in my mind were doing incredible things, paying an incredible cost to do those things that God was using in miraculous ways. And there probably wasn't a single missions conference at the end of which I was convinced that I was going to the mission field. I mean, I was just inspired about missions work. And as I got older and into junior high and high school and started to give real serious consideration to going into some kind of ministry, It was very tough for me to discern, because as I was talking with my pastors and with other spiritual mentors in my life who affirmed seeing certain things in me and encouraging me to consider pursuing ministry, that the conversations were always about, well, should it be here or should it be out there somewhere? And through a long process of, well, what are your giftings? How are you skilled? And receiving wisdom from many people, I chose the path of being a pastor here in the United States. That there's still a part of me that wonders if missions is in my future, really. Now, my wife trembles a bit every time I say that. But the amazing thing is about her is she'll always, and I'll probably hear it if she watches today's sermon from home with a sick kiddo, that, I'm not particularly fond of the idea of leaving the United States, but if that's what you say we need to do, we'll do it. And I always really appreciate that about my wife. Missions is a truly special thing. And I think it really deserves talking about a little bit this morning. And I say talking about, I understand that for the remainder of our time, it's not as though we're going to be having a two-way conversation verbally, but I hope that we're having it at least in terms of the thoughts being produced, the questions that might come up in your mind. And talking about questions, you might realize that I didn't get up at the beginning of the service and offer my cell phone number and encourage you to text me your best questions about missions today. But I will encourage you to be thinking about this. During our missions conference next month, we will have a panel of our missionary guests, and I'll be moderating that panel. And my job is to ask them questions, anything that we can think of, about their work as a missionary. I would like those questions to come from you. And so as you think about today's message, and as you go on through the next few weeks, and you're going to be hearing a lot more about missions conference moving forward, as you have questions, email them to me. You can text them to me if that's what you'd prefer. My number's in the directory. You can always call the church office and send a question that way. I would love to get some really good questions from you that you would love for us to ask our missionaries. So that's what you can do with your questions today. When we think of missions conference, I the image on the screen is what came to my mind, and you might be wondering why. Well, first of all, for me, I when I see a picture like that, I'm seeing a lot of guys who appear to be working hard. And if it were clear enough or you were close enough, you would see there is absolute determination on the faces of some of the men in that boat. In fact, the guy in the front seat, you can actually see a drop of sweat coming off his nose as they're trying to row that boat together. Now, each person in that boat has an important role to play. Wouldn't you agree? And if one guy has a lousy day and doesn't put his absolute best effort into it, it'll impact every other man in the boat. Every other one. Because each man only has so much of a capacity to perform. And so some of you might be thinking, well, the next guy can just work twice as hard. I got some news for you. It doesn't really work that way. All of us are only capable of so much. And so it's incumbent upon these men, in this case, there are women's rowing teams also, but in this case, it's incumbent upon the men in the boat to have some kind of relationship with each other so they know how the other person's doing. And it would not shock me at all if there were times when they see that a guy's not back early enough in the evening yet and they have a competition the next day. They're probably trying to run that guy down and get him into his room and tell him to go to bed, right? Because your performance tomorrow impacts the rest of us. So whatever's going on in each one of these guys' lives becomes a critical issue every other person needs to know, so that they're all prepared and can do the best thing that they can do, which is to work together as a team. I see missions ministry very similarly. And by that I mean, I know that we're not in the same boat literally as our missionaries that are in the field, but we are definitely in the same ministry boat. And if we're not functioning at our best here, I believe that has an effect. Hi, darling. I believe that has an effect on how they are ministering out there? Should there be a lack of prayer coming from us here? How might that impact them out there? Should there be a lack of giving in our part here? How would that impact their ministry out there? I see an equally correlating relationship. And I believe we are all in that ministry boat together. And I hope that today's passage will help you see that as I do. I'll be honest about today's passage. It is one of a very few in Scripture that give a highlight, like a real specific highlight, to missions, ministry, and missions support. And it's in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And we're going to start in this passage by taking a look at verse 10. Now, one thing you should know about this passage is this is not a thou shalt do this passage. You won't find much of anything in this passage where you'll be able to walk away and say, I have been commanded to act this way as it relates to our missionaries. That's not this kind of passage. This passage, however, I believe, is going to help you and me see what does a missions-minded church look like. The church where the Philippians have gathered became known to missionaries as a missions-minded church. So what is it that they were doing? What did they believe their responsibility was when it came to the missionaries that they would support? And that actually is our question today. What is my responsibility to my church's missionaries? And I'll be honest with you. The text today is not going to directly answer that question because it's not that kind of text. But it is my hope you will arrive at an answer. And that maybe your answer will be based upon the actions of the Philippian people and Paul's response to them. So let's take a look at the passage. Starting in verse 10, it says this, I, that's Paul, rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatsoever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, the great thing about this passage, apart from highlighting missions, is that it also contains one of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted, misapplied verses in Scripture, right? And I would have to go, this is one of the verses I would hit on in my Bible classes at Delaware Christian School, and it's what I hit on youth group on occasion. This verse, the verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, does not mean what most people think it means. It does not mean that if you utterly lack the equipping necessary to perform well at a job, that you will perform well at the job because you've got Christ in you. And you, of course, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. No, you'll probably get fired, right? But what Paul's talking about here is a state of contentedness. You might ask, you know, he says, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger. This is a missionary speaking to a church, a critical church in his ministry. And he'll highlight that here in a minute. But he's telling them, home church, sending church, supporting church, I've learned the secret of doing okay, whether I have a lot or have little. I've learned how to be content in whatever situation I am in. Verse 11, what is it? What is the source of that contentment? It's the indwelling presence of Christ. So when I have nothing, I have everything in him. You can do all things through Christ is an encouragement that no matter what the circumstances are in your life, you can enjoy contentedness because you have Christ. Those are all the things you can do. What do we learn about missions here? Well, you would notice in his wording to the Philippians that he said that they had revived their concern for him. And so, first of all, when it comes to our responsibility toward our missionaries, it would seem as though the first thing that we need to know is that we should be concerned for them. And I'm wondering, I'm right. Oh, there, I was concerned about my clicker there for a minute. All right. We should have concern, and that concern needs to be revived, renewed from time to time. It's the inclination of us all, especially those of us who are Christians over a long period of time, to fall into states of apathy and complacency about things where maybe we once were very excited by them. And so maybe for some of us, we've been to more missions conferences than we can count. So why should I be excited about this one? Or I've met and supported more missionaries than I can remember. What's the big deal about meeting these missionaries? Well, that might be a sign that your concern for our missionaries should be renewed again. And by the way, that's actually one of the most consistent prayers of our missions committee these days, is that the concern of the people of Delaware Bible Church for their missionaries would be renewed. Truly renewed by a work of the Spirit. And even for the Philippian people who knew what it meant to support missionaries, and they so supported and were devoted to Paul, even their concern required a reviving. But Paul then said, if you look at his next words, he said, "You indeed were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." In other words, we can only speculate here, but maybe it was because of a situation of poverty that they lacked the opportunity to give more. Or maybe it was the circumstances of persecution that prevented them from supporting Paul more. We don't know why they lacked the opportunity to support him in the ways that they desired. But Paul now tells them that the door's open. They now have an opportunity, and they have seized it, as he will tell us here in a minute, seized another opportunity to support Paul in his missionary work. And so our concern for our missionaries requires an opportunity to be displayed. And so the question we need to be thinking about this morning is, how am I displaying my concern for the missionaries my church supports? And let's be more specific, the missionaries that I support through my giving. Because remember, there is a direct relationship between your giving and what these people receive. How am I displaying that concern? How did the Philippians display it? That question will be answered here shortly. But lastly, I believe there's a subtle indication here that it's a matter of obedience rather than need. Paul made it very clear that he appreciated and rejoiced in their support for him, but it's not as though he needed it. Why? Because he was content no matter what. Why? Because of the indwelling presence of Christ in his life. This is an issue of need. Now, are there missionaries who have needs? Yes. I think the greater implication here, though, is that the Philippians were acting out of obedience. And you might ask, well, how is that so? That's not clearly spoken of in this text. You'd be right. But what about all the one another's in Scripture? To bear one another's burdens, to love one another, to show patience with one another, to support one another, to pray for one another, to serve one another. Do those one another's also apply to our missionaries? Are they not also one another's to us? I believe what we're seeing here with the Philippians is that they were a church that understood that. And that even though Paul was not with them presently, that would not hinder them from practicing those one another's toward him, right? And sometimes we do have an issue with the whole phrase of being out of sight, out of mind, right? The missionaries that you, many of whom we're about to add all the new ones to our board, by the way, the pictures have been ordered. But the ones you'll see on the board as you walk out of here today, they're not here present with us. And so it becomes a challenge in and of itself that because they're not here, sometimes the display of our concern for them begins to wane and fade. We don't think of them as much, pray for them as much. You might notice that's why we've done things like spotlight a missionary every Sunday. We try to put updates in the weekly update about our missionaries when we receive them. If you come here on Wednesday nights to pray, you'll find a prayer sheet, and on that prayer sheet will be some information relating to our missionaries. We're trying to do what we can as church leadership to keep our missionaries at the forefront of your minds, because we know they're not here. You're not seeing them regularly, but we still have a responsibility to them, a responsibility to be concerned for them, as the Philippians clearly were for Paul. Let's take a look at verses 14 and 15. Paul said, "Yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only." Talk about honesty on Paul's part. The Philippians understood their role in Paul's ministry was an awfully critical one, because there was a time where they were the only church supporting his work. But Paul highlights something interesting here as it relates to what might our responsibility be. I believe that responsibility is partnership, and that partnership needs to be a two-way street. Paul talks about giving and receiving. And so the giving and receiving, I believe the text is telling us, is occurring on both ends of a true partnership. The Philippian church is giving support to Paul and receiving his appreciation and affirmation for their gift, right? And the Lord's blessing. And then Paul is receiving, right, their support, but he's also giving them that affirmation and thanks and giving glory to God. That giving and receiving is a two-way street. That's the true definition of a partnership. Partnership should never just be one way. That's not a partnership, right? I don't know what you call that, but it's not a partnership. That's just kind of being told what to do all the time or whatever. And so when we think about our missionaries, what would it look like for you and I? What would it look like for each and every one of us to be engaged in a two-way partnership with our missionaries? Is it enough that Delaware Bible Church is simply listed as one of the churches that supports that missionary? Or could we do more? Could we do more with that partnership? Could we individually be engaged in that partnership? Could we be individually sending letters, making phone calls, checking in on them, learning what their specific needs are? I believe we can do that. And I believe that's what a real partnership looks like. Because after all, the church, Delaware Bible Church, is a supporting church. Yeah, that's not a very intimate thing, right? That's an institutional church on the list of supporting churches for that missionary. The real work is in the relationships with the people in that church. That's where the real fruit is produced and the real work is done. And so this requires a relationship. If we're going to be in partnership with our missionaries, we ought to seek to be in relationship with them. Now you might be thinking, well, if I take the amount of missionaries out on that board and I add the 5 or 6 new ones that I see on the front of the bulletin, Pastor Aaron, how am I supposed to be in relationship with all of these people? Well, you're not necessarily being asked to do that. Are you in relationship with any of them? Have you ever considered taking one missionary to show great interest in, to really get to know? And you might have noticed, we have a lot of missionaries that have young kids. Can I just tell you, from what I have observed personally, that is not easy. Missions work is hard enough, let alone having young children in tow. And many of them are in that time of life. And so what would it look like for you to take a personal interest in how their kids are doing? And when are their birthdays? What are their interests? What could I send along to be an encouragement to them? Parents, grandparents, we all know this. People who take time and are intentional being an encouragement to our children, is that not also an encouragement to us? So many of our missionaries would love that. If some of us would take a special interest in their kids. But I believe a relationship is required. Lastly, it's a matter of fellowship rather than finances. Again, Paul's not focusing on the finances as though this was some kind of transactional relationship. He's talking about them in a much more relational setting, right? And that's because there was relationship there. And they knew precisely what Paul needed and when he needed it because they were in that kind of relationship. There was constant communication. Let me ask you a question. If one of our missionaries on the front of the bulletin today were in a very difficult time of life, facing serious, maybe it's medical challenges, maybe a month ago they learned something that was, just humanly speaking, devastating to learn, medically speaking. Would any of us know about it? Would any of us know? And my argument is, we won't know unless we're in relationship with them. And wouldn't you love to be the person who knows that? You know what I love? One of the things I love most about prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, by the way, is when somebody comes with a prayer request that no one else was aware of, but we all became aware of it because of the one person that showed up and knew about it. Why did they know about it? Because they're in relationship with that person. They knew something the pastors didn't know. That happens frequently, believe it or not. And so then when we're leading prayer meeting, we make a note of that. And then how many more people are now praying for that need? You might have noticed the first image when we talked about having a concern for our missionaries was a hand that was being reached out of water. I figure it's a safe assumption that we have some missionaries that might feel like they're drowning. Who knows? Who knows that? Who knows that and could report that to us because you have a relationship with them and they've shared that with you. And now we can all join them in that hardship. It's about fellowship more than it is about finances. It's not just about sending money. That's a big part of it, but that's not only it. Lastly, it's about support. And the right kind of support, verses 16 to 20, it says, even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice accountable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so now we're looking at support and a supplying. Well, that support needs to be done regularly. Again, if we look at the example of the Philippian church, Paul indicates here in these last few verses that their support for him happened on more than one occasion, correct? Needs will come and go. And so we need to be responsive to that. And as there is a need, let's respond. But in order to know the need, we must be having a relationship with them. And in order to desire that relationship, we ought to have concern for them. And I see a Philippian church that exhibits all of that. But here's the thing. It requires sacrifice. It does. Let's be honest. To build a relationship with somebody who's not present with you all the time, who might be on a totally different schedule than you, depending on the missionary you choose to invest in, their life schedule is entirely different than yours, probably. They're on the other side of the world, some of them. It's going to require that you and your family have to now make adjustments as a family so that you can build this relationship with that missionary. It's going to require sacrifice. And friends, what I'm saying is, it's not just sacrifice in terms of our money and being faithful givers when the offering plates come around. It's sacrifice involving our time. And time is a much more valuable commodity than money. And our missionaries know that. Let me say that again. Time is a more valuable commodity than money. And our missionaries know that. What do you think meant more to Ade and Rachel Yannick, our missionaries in Peru, that we sent thousands of dollars? I know this is a bit of a trick question. Let me put it this way. On a human personal level, what do you think meant more? The huge gift of money or the fact that a few of our folks went out there to spend a week with them, to support them, to be there in the dirt with them? Now listen, I think they would give glory to God for the thousands of dollars that were sent so that his word could be made known to people who didn't have it in their own language. That's not what I'm saying. But I think the most impactful thing we did last year was send a group from this church to be with them. The most impactful thing we did in the lives of our missionaries was that. And it required sacrifice. A week away from work, away from family. I was away from my wife and kids. That wasn't fun. Kids as young as mine, they don't understand. They wonder if dad's ever coming back every night. It requires sacrifice on our part. But I think Paul tells us here at the end of the passage, it's a matter of God's glory rather than our own benefit. And that's why the sacrifice can be more easily made. Because it's not about us. We're not sacrificing so that we get something in return. We're sacrificing for our missionaries so that he gets all the glory. And if that sacrifice we're making produces a need in our life, Paul told the Philippian church, my God will supply that. He'll supply that. I really liked what I read, by the way, on this passage, and I wanted to share it with you. Paul said that God would supply our needs according to his riches, not out of his riches, as if it were off the top. God's supply is not according to our deserts, but according to his mercy. It's not out of debt, but out of grace. It's not according to our emptiness, but according to his fullness. It's not according to our poverty, but according to his wealth. God is the great supplier. He has abundant supply. And it was Paul's personal testimony that when needs are created out of service to God, he supplies those needs. And so you might be sitting here today and say, it's going to take great sacrifice for me to be so concerned about a missionary of our church that I develop a relationship with them. And that relationship might lead to a conversation where they say, you know, it's been so good to get to know you. We would love to have you come see us sometime. All the sacrifice that would take to go see them because our relationship has reached that kind of level. And that's going to create a financial need. We don't know if we can cover all of that, or I don't know if my employer will let me off for that long. I don't know about this. I don't know about this. All I'm saying is Paul's testimony is God supplies the need. And it's not about us, it's about him. As you look at the application I've suggested for you, you have for the first time this year the full schedule of our upcoming missions conference on Friday, March 27th, Saturday, March 28th, and Sunday, March 29th. And you see the times listed there. And you see that we're trying to do something a little bit different. We're calling Sunday morning our public close to the conference, but we're also pairing life groups with missionaries to spend some fellowship time with them before they leave town as a more private way to conclude our conference. And so be talking with your life group leaders about whether or not they've been communicating with us about that opportunity. Number two, adopt a missionary to build a relationship with so that you have that opportunity to show your concern and then partner with them and support them. Life groups, by the way, are going to be asked to consider doing this as a group in the very near future. We're going to call it Adopt a Missionary. And we're going to challenge all of our life groups to take personal interest in a missionary and really dive deep with them. So be talking with your life group leaders about that. You might be saying, I want to do this, but I'm not part of a life group. First of all, I would very much encourage you to consider being part of a life group. But if for some reason that is not working out for you, you can still invest in a missionary, and I would be glad to show you how you can do that. Number three, some faith talk ideas, families, as you go throughout your week. I'd encourage you to center your dinner time conversations on what missionaries do and how much it means to them when we show our concern for them. You see how much it meant to Paul. Spend time as a family praying for the spotlight missionary this week. Did you take note of it? Do you still remember it? And could you be in prayer for them throughout the week? Do it every week. Set aside time this week. Here's the real challenge. You ready for the sacrifice part? Set aside time this week to make a plan for how your family will attend Mission Conference this year. You have over 5 weeks to answer the following questions. What do we need to do to make this a priority this year as a way of showing our missionaries that we are concerned for them? Can I just tell you, our missionaries thrive off of seeing you when they come here. It means so much to them. That is a great way to display your concern for them, is to be here when they come here. Look at the second one. What activities are already on the calendar that we could cancel or reschedule? I know that I just committed like a cultural sin. When is the last time your family canceled or rescheduled something else because of what was happening here, rather than rescheduling or canceling what was happening here because of something else that was happening? And I'm asking myself the same question. I'm a pastor. What would it look like to make Missions Conference the priority that weekend? What needs to go? What needs to change? You have 5 weeks. What do we need to communicate, and to whom do we need to communicate it? Do I need a reshuffling of my work schedule? Then your boss needs to be on the list. And imagine, you might be thinking, there's no way my boss is going to let me change my schedule so I can come to Missions Conference. Have the conversation. Because wouldn't the conversation itself be a gospel opportunity for you and your boss? For an employer to hear his employee say, I need to rearrange my schedule this weekend because of my church's missions conference, and I want to show my concern for our missionaries by being there. Is there any way that we can work that out? Would that not be a powerful Christian testimony to that employer? But we so frequently stop short of just even having that conversation. And then we lose the opportunity for our witness. The worst that could happen is that he would say no. But you might be surprised, as I learned when I was in the secular workplace, many times employers are delighted to say yes. Let's figure that out. That sounds like it's very important to you. So what would it look like to make it a priority? I want to, just for the last couple minutes here, I want to pull back the curtain. This could really get me in trouble, I'll be honest. But I want to pull back the curtain on the missions committee and planning for missions conference. Last year, you might recall that we sent around a survey asking questions about our missions conference and what your thoughts were on certain aspects of it. Boy, we got feedback. This church never disappoints. When we ask you to give feedback, you give it. And we pored over it, we prayed over it, we discussed it, we digested it. And I want to tell you that almost every aspect of this year's missions conference is a direct response to the feedback we received from you. Let me give you some examples. We had learned from you that the time of year for the missions conference made it difficult because of the weather. Oftentimes, Missions Conference was closer to the end of February or even very beginning of March. You know, that can be very iffy here in Ohio. So we moved it to the end of March, where we felt that that the weather would be a bit more predictable. We don't know for sure, but we tried to respond to your feedback, and so we pushed it back. Secondly, we were told that particularly for young families, the total number of sessions and the timing of some of those sessions made it really difficult. The length of some of those sessions made it difficult for families with young kids to be here for the whole thing. And there's always this feeling like, if I miss a part of it, then what's the point in going to the other parts? First of all, don't do that. But secondly, we wanted to respond to that. And so we removed, this is going to pain some of you, and I know that, but we removed the Saturday morning breakfast session. A lot of our young families were having a hard time making it out to that. And as a father of young kids myself, I understand why. And so we have Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. And then if you're involved with your life group, then your life group has an opportunity Sunday afternoon or evening. You'll notice in your bulletin that the Friday night session is at 7. That's because we know that many people are working on Friday, and to try to start any earlier would be a hindrance to you being here. It's at 6 on Saturday because we know many of you don't work on Saturday, and a lot of you have young kids who need to go to bed. And so we thought if on Saturday we could start an hour earlier, that would be a gift to you because we want to see you Sunday morning. And we want everyone to be well slept Sunday morning. So we tried to respond to that feedback we received about the sessions and the number and the timing and the length. We're working very hard to have the times that we put in the bulletin be legitimate times, to start at 7 and end at 8, to start at 6 and end at 7. We know what it's like for some families. I know this. Some families, particularly those of you with younger kids, and you come thinking you're going to be out of here at 7, and 7:30 comes, 8 o'clock comes, and your kids are going nuts in the nursery with whoever the poor soul is that's in there, who usually turns in their resignation to me the next day. I'm just kidding about the last part. We're going to strive to be a good steward of the time. Lastly, We had heard feedback about, you know, is there anything we can do to enhance what's happening for our kids during Missions Conference, the kids conference? Boy, am I excited about how the Lord has provided for that. If you may not be familiar with it, but Scioto Hills Camp in Wheelersburg, Ohio is one of many Christian camps in the state that I've been able to develop a relationship with over the years. I called the director up, Scott Bruns, some time ago, said, what would you think about bringing some people from your camp to do our kids conference for our missions conference this year? He said, let's do it. And so Scioto Hills Camp is going to be here to minister to our children. And I wanted Scott to tell you that himself. And so that's who you're going to see in this next video.
Hey folks, my name is Scott Bruns, and I am privileged to be the executive director at Scioto Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center. Scioto Hills is located about 2 hours south of Columbus, just off the Ohio River in the beautiful hills of the Appalachian Mountains. We are privileged to be in partnership with the local church for over 55 years, and our outdoor setting provides an opportunity for campers, both young and old, to get away from their popular routine and to focus on the bigger picture of life, that being their relationship with Jesus Christ. We provide retreats and summer camps and guest group opportunities for local churches, for Christian ministries and schools throughout Ohio and even into the tri-state area. My staff and I are excited to be a part of your upcoming missions conference here at the end of March. We're looking forward to meeting you. We're looking forward to getting to chat with you at our display table, but we're really most excited about the 4 opportunities we're going to have to be with your children. We are going to be singing some really fun songs, teaching kids some new songs they haven't heard before, playing some big games that they probably have never played before, and teaching some wonderful Bible lessons, especially as they're related to the games, and then also how they relate to the importance of missionary work that is done throughout the world. In fact, you'll probably get to meet some of the other missionaries who will be at the conference. We are excited to be there and looking forward to that. We've got some surprises for you you will not want to miss. How does a giant climbing wall sound to you? Or I am looking forward to introducing you to my little friend that I call Jerry Mathers. You have no idea who he is, but you won't want to miss that. So right now, if you will, just turn to your parents and say, Mom, Dad, we cannot miss the missions conference. I want to be part of that. So in fact, invite a friend. Invite 2 friends. We're going to have a blast, and we are looking forward to meeting you and having a great time at the Delaware Bible Church Missions Conference coming up here at the end of March. Lord bless you.
You'll be seeing a lot of videos like that over the next few weeks. We've asked all of our missionary guests to record a video to share directly with you who they are, what they're doing, and that they're looking forward to be here at our Missions Conference. But boy, we're excited with what's going to happen for our kids. Can I just tell you, if anyone knows anything about having a blast with kids to the glory of God, it's people who work at Christian Camp. And these people do it well. And so we're looking forward to having Souda Hills here to do our kids conference during the missions conference this year. Listen, you have a lot to think about, a lot to digest. We're asking you to today start seriously thinking about how you can show your concern for our missionaries, how you can develop a relationship with them and be in fellowship with them, and how you can truly partner and support them. And we're asking you today, put those dates in your calendar and figure out how to make it work. We promise you, you will be edified by everything that God has in store for that time. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time you've given us to be here today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the incredible example and testimony of the Philippian church. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for Paul being led to share how much it meant to him as a missionary to be supported by such a church as that one. God, it's my desire and the desire of our missions committee that Delaware Bible Church be that kind of church. That word would spread as our concern for our missionaries is renewed. Our relationships with them built, our support for them enhanced, that word would spread from one missionary to another. Let me tell you about what God's doing through Delaware Bible Church. That is a missions-minded church. God, I believe that we can be that. I believe that we can set that kind of example. And so, God, I pray that you would move in our midst to that end and ultimately for your glory. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.